This episode is in collaboration with Sheep Producers Australia, part of the National Sheep and Goat Traceability Task Force to support industry with the move to electronic identification through the coordination and production of nationally consistent messaging. In this episode, we're joined by three stock agents who cover different areas of Western Australia, Grant Lupton, Emma Dougal, and Clark Skinner. They give their unique insights, offering advice on equipment, discussing various setups they've encountered, and sharing tips and feedback that they've heard and gathered from growers.
Thank you so much for being here tonight. I want to introduce you all, but the first is, who are you and what do you do and what area you're from?
So, yeah, Clark Skinner. I've got the livestock agency at Elders, sort of Great Southern, Elders Cranbrook, Katanning, Wagen, with my partner, Steele Hathaway. I've been working for Elders for 27 years. I've been in the agency business. The last 17, we've had our own business within Elders as an agency business, but we've been 27 years with Elders. And, predominantly sheep business with some cattle. And we do a bit of farming ourselves as well, run a few sheep, but predominantly cattle on our farming operation as well. So, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I'm Emma Dougal and I work for Elders based out of Meriden as the Territory Sales Manager. So I've been with Elders for 3 years and started off based out of Bunbury in the southwest. So I started off predominantly in cattle and moving to Meriden. I am now predominantly sheep with a few cattle out here.
Grant Lupton, I'm the old dog. I've just looked over 40 years in the industry and continues wearing a green shirt, so there's not too many of us around, although Clark's colleague, Roger Frisk, who's been with Elders for as long we compare notes for many a time. I've been in Wongan Hills now for 20 years. I've worked there at Bruce Rock. I've worked at Narrogin, started in the Midland Soyard. So I've seen a lot of changes over the years, and this is just another part of that change, and I'm looking forward to it.
And so we've got you here today. We're just talking about EIDs and the mandate, particularly in Western Australia. And we thought stock agents, you see a lot of growers, you go to a lot of properties, so you have just a different perspective to offer in the sense that you see a variety of things. My first question, you would see different setups, whether that's yard setups, you'd see different uses of equipment that might suit specific enterprises. So just, you know, do you have any advice for growers on this as they're starting out, things that you've seen that have worked?
Okay, well, Tiffany, I've taken a slight different view to all this. I'm also involved in a consultancy group with the Ag Department and industry. And first of all, I'm just approaching people and just getting used to the idea. So I'm just saying to people who just breed sheep, really, there's no change to the way they're going to run their operation at this stage. You're just going to have to put a slightly more expensive tag in their ear. And for the people who trade sheep, they're quite excited because they don't have to go and put a pink tag in the sheep. Normally, as they run it up on the truck, they'll just do the transfer. And again, I'm saying to these people, you know, if you're a breeder, all you're going to need is a new applicator. I strongly suggest when they get the auto applicators, they get the good old single applicator too, because you've got 1,000 lambs in front of you and that bit of plastic breaks, you'll be upset. So when I've been selling equipment to people, I'm selling them both just as a bit of a backup. So, and then I've got people been using electronic tags for a couple of years now, and I'm seeing them take the advantages of staying away, sheep in their feedlot and identify individuals, something like preg testing. Instead of having to split all your multiples and singles and dries up on the day and put them into different paddocks, you can just scan them all and then run back to an auto drafter closer to lambing and split up the mobs there instead of having 20 mobs of sheep around place, you've still got 5 mobs. So there's some opportunities for people, and I really think as time goes on, people are going to like to have a cropping grab technology. They're going to see this as a key to doing things a bit differently and improving their productivity from farm to farm.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, no, I really agree with what Grant said, opportunities that the tags are going to bring, but also in that if you're just breeding sheep that you don't need to change what you're doing. And with the applicators, have a look around it and talk to, your rep for your ear tags. But a lot of the ear tags, when they're sold, they do come with a free applicator depending on the number of tags that you're buying. So yeah, there's a lot of sort of incentives out there to transition to the electronic tags, including those applicators.
Yeah, no, I think you guys have covered most of it. It is interesting that different, you know, on the land marking table already, sort of people figure out pretty quickly, you know, a shortcut. You know, guy was putting, he was doing his whole drop, he was doing his ewes and weather lambs. A lot of guys have just started out doing their ewe lambs for obvious reasons, you know, that they're going to be the ones that will be in the program when they come around, and most of the weather lambs will be gone. But this fellow was doing his whole drop, and he was doing the, he got his kids to sort the tags into odds and evens, and he was doing evens for the ewe lambs and odds for the weather lambs. I said, oh, what are you doing that for? And he said, oh, well, these are going to go through an auto draft at weaning time. And he said, look, if I'm clever enough, I'm smart enough to get it set up, he said, I reckon I can pass the ewe through the auto draft. He puts them all through what's it called, you know, the grabber and drafter. There's different, Cliff X make one. And so anyway, he said, I reckon I can get them through. He said, I reckon I can get it to split ewes and weathers off at weaning. He said, so it'll be a one pass operation. I won't have to redraft them. And I thought, well, that didn't take long. You know, that's a pretty good little cheat. And that was in year one. So I kind of thought, well, you know, here's a guy that sort of thought he's, you know, he's had a pretty big whinge about the cost of it, like everyone has, and totally understandable with the way our industry is at the moment. But he said, look, you know, if we're going to have to spend the money, we might as well cut a corner and make a little bit less work for ourselves. So I thought that was pretty impressive. Yeah.
Like growers, I think we've seen it time and time again. What the industry as a whole, they're full of innovation. You know, there's a lot of industry standards as they've evolved, we've met them. So I'm, surely, does anyone have any other little tips they've had? We've had a few, like, you know, have that second pair of pliers ready at the marking table. Has there been any others that growers have sort of come through and said, oh, this has worked for us, or this hasn't?
I've had one of my state clients who still wants to have a visual number tag and the electronic tag to use all that for the benefits as well, but just the, you know, without having to scan it, he can just look at a number. And with some of the tagging systems now, they, again, he gets his kids there and they load up the plain number tag against the numbered EID tag, and you can put them through this drum and just doing all that, much like Skinner was, Clark was saying about doing the ewes and weathers. So there's just little tricks like that, guys, to keep using. Another one of the guys, yeah, he's scanning as he puts the tags in the cradle to say these are out of, their mothers were multiples. So he's got that information on that day, and then he can use that later on when he goes to wean the lambs, whatever else, he can wean them off. So farmers are very innovative, and they'll work out little different tricks, right, as time goes on.
So I think that leads into my next question of what examples of what your clients are doing with their data, working within their enterprises, and particularly your commercial clients.
Yeah, so we've had one particular client, good big composite ewe flock, and, you know, really focusing on kilograms of lambs weaned per ewe, which was quite interesting. So all the ewes were twinned and at, you know, scanning and all the rest of it. Anyway, they sort of basically after lamb marking, just prior to weaning, they basically put a scanner in a narrowing in a paddock when the ewes and lambs were going to water. And they were able to identify with fairly accurately which lambs belong to which ewes. So they had the information of who belonged to who paired up on the scanner. And then when they put them through the auto draft at weaning time, they could accurately work out which females, which ewes had weaned the most kilograms of lamb, regardless of if they'd had twins, triplets, or singles. And that was, it was really interesting data, like, to collect, because a lot of ewes were getting a second round and a pat on the back if they were raising twins. But, you know, often they weren't the most productive ewes. They were productive ewes, but not all the time. So they had instances where they were keeping ewes that were unproductive, and they had two pretty ordinary lambs as opposed to one lamb. And then, like, even further to that, they were able to identify which lambs were going earlier, like, so which ewes were producing lambs that were ready for market earlier, BU or weather lambs, and then able to identify which sheep, when they did their ewe lamb selection, they could easily identify which ewe lambs to keep, like, out of which ewes they were. And you think it sounds like a lot of work, but it was zero extra work. It was just a smart use of the data. They literally just collected the data, ran the sheep through an auto draft and went, they're all related to our most productive ewes. They're all related to our least productive ewes. These ones are in the flock we're keeping and those ones aren't. And I thought, well, gee, like what a leap forward that that's going to have. And that's in its infancy that we're doing, you know, mothering up sheep in commercial flocks, you know, and those guys produce 6,000 and 7,000 lambs. So they were able to get the nucleus flock of breeding ewes that they kept hugely accurately on, you know, its relationship with a fertile, highly productive mother. And, you know, I thought that's pretty exciting. It excited me. And I just thought, and that's a commercial flock that did one small thing and probably spent one day extra in the yards to achieve it, if anything extra in the yards to achieve it, which is great. So
out in Meriden, I don't have any examples to talk about like that. I think last year's drop was the first time we saw a few clients tagging their ewe lambs predominantly. And, yeah, pretty good feedback from that, not in terms of the data management, but it's just getting people thinking about what it can mean for them. And a lot of people this year are tagging their ewe lambs, and a lot of people are tagging just the whole flock of what they're going to do. So I think more for what we're seeing is more just the talk and what people are wanting to do. And a lot of that, I guess, is coming around weighing lambs into feedlots and for slaughter. And I guess as well, like coming off the tough markets where we've had to really have lambs in good condition to sell. And we've weighed a lot of lambs this year. Yeah, a lot of people are excited to see, especially weight growth and growth through age and what their lambs are going to be doing. And we've actually have one of our clients has really gotten into it, and they've just bought new yards with that Clipex auto grab and draft thing, and they have, yeah, and that's all coming off sort of thinking about what they can do. So I think it's just great what their thoughts are and how they are looking to change it. But as of such, yeah, at the moment it's just sort of getting the tags in there, and we're working towards that data management in this area as such at the moment.
So yeah, Tiffany, I suppose not so much commercial, but I do a lot of work with stud blokes as well. But something that is going to be easy to apply with in the commercial world is fleece weighing, the ability to scan, have a little barcode reader, flip the barcode out, go up to your scales, zippy zip, instead of someone calls out a number, oh, 999, but someone's read the tag upside down, it was actually 666. And then you go back to the data later and suddenly you've got two sheep with, and go, well, who's who? So I've seen that, and I've got one stud grower using that in a commercial way. And so not just his stud, his commercial use as well. He's flat out, five shearers going. He's got no time to talk, but you get through the works, just one person, and it cuts a lot out. And again, about being more productive and being better, that's just an easy tool, and it's something that people start looking at again. I've heard anecdotally, I don't know how true this is, a couple of years ago, that one grower scanned, weighed and scanned all his young ewe hoggets up into the shearing shed. And then when they came back out of the shearing shed, he weighed and scanned them again and then used that information to go, well, you've cut so many kilos of wool, and then just gone through the data, put a line across the page, ran back to the autografter, you lot haven't cut enough wool, you have now. I've only heard that anecdotally, and it's probably not, you know, you'd like a little bit more science. But that's the sort of simple things, like Clark was talking to his people there, that people can do, and some measurement's better than no measurement. I think that's the, once people get their head around, you know, information's a powerful tool, it's just how you make it work for you. And again, without making a lot of extra work, and a lot of it's not, you know, it's just, you know, a lot of the equipment that's there now is very good, you know, not the tags from my clients, you know, he's weaning and drenching his lambs and his Hector and handler, and then as he lets them out, they go through the auto grafter, and you go into the heavy mob, the light mob. You know, the technology's there, and again, these tags are just going to add to that if people want to put their minds to it, and farmers are very, very good at doing it.
Yeah. So it sort of leads into one of the final questions is, do you have anything else to add or any advice to growers out there as an agent who sees lots of enterprises, lots of different people? Is there anything else you think that from your perspective you want to share? And we'll start with you, Em, just as an agent who's gone from cattle to sheep, is there anything you've spoken to your growers about that you'd want others to know?
I think one question I get asked a lot and a lot of people are concerned about is, yeah, buying the scanners. And yeah, it's something that at a base level of just being a breeder and putting tags in, that I don't think they need to worry about that as much. But I think as well, if you are going to go in and buy, you know, the scanner and the monitors that go with them and stuff, it is something worth doing the research on. And it's also worth working out, what do you want to record? What do you want to get out of it? And yeah, what are you trying to achieve? Because there's a lot on the market and there's some really, really good ones that can do a lot of things, but it's working out what you're wanting to record. And recording data is something, but it's also what are you going to do with that data? What are you going to change in your enterprise to make that data worth capturing? So like there's, yeah, some good info out there, but just make sure you do your research if you are going to invest in scanners, because they can be really helpful, but you need to make sure you're getting the ones that suit your business. And yeah, coming from cattle feedlotting, there's definitely a lot of technology that can be used and to record different data. And yeah, seeing that in cattle feedlotting all the time, because the aim of a cattle feedlot is you want that weight gain. So it's been really good. You can use it to see which animal's performing. It's an easy way to pick up if an animal's sick, because they're not going to be performing in that weight gain. So I think that, yeah, over time we'll see a lot of really creative things happening with sheep, exactly like what the guys have been saying on here tonight with the auto scanning and auto weighing. And no, it's just really exciting to see where the future is going to go with it.
Yeah, I just what Emma said, I mean, I'm getting people, oh, what brand of tags should I buy? What scanner should I buy? And so I've had two answers. I've said to guys, especially last year, first time, look, but I'll show them the samples. Here's your opportunity. You have a look at them, see what you like, and then, but be flexible. If those tags, if you have problems with those tags falling out, whatever else, we'll try a different one. So people got to be a little bit flexible to start with, and just working out what tags suit them. And I talk to my clients all the time, and I'll happily pass on information, you know, within reason for one client the next. And it's a bit like Emma said, the scanners, you know, I believe already over New South Wales, great big bucket load of money got thrown at the at all this, and there's people going to bought a heap of gear, and it's all sitting up the back of the shed already. So yeah, just do your homework, talk to your agents, talk to your fellow farmers, and you know, there's no rush with this, and you'll find something to suit you. And you know, for some people, they'll do nothing. For other people, really open opportunities. So yeah, just be flexible is my advice.
So the agent in me probably thinks, and it'll be interesting to see what Luffy and M think about this as well. Like you go to a set of, and we haven't seen it for a couple of years with the way that things have been, but you know, our breeder ewe sales in Western Australia, you know, if you see a line of sheep jump into a ewe sale in Western Australia and they've got a pink tag in them, they can be beautiful line of ewes, but all of a sudden they're seen as a secondhand ewe. You know, like they've been somewhere and they're secondhand because they've got this bit of plastic in their ear that means they're recycled. You know, and you see it on lease farms as well. The sheep, they've never left the farm and they've got a pink tag in them because they've changed ownership. And all of a sudden they're a secondhand ewe if they get sold at a special sale. And you go, you know, you kind of think in the same thing. So you kind of think there's opportunity there. All of a sudden it's like, well, people will see the sheep on their merit or see the livestock on their merit more. And, you know, they've got one tag in them, if they're one tag, one ear, mark line of sheep, well, then they're sold as such. You know, I think that's a real positive thing for those people that do want, particularly want to do a good job. And in a market that we're in now, there's opportunity everywhere to buy young ewes, mate them, scan them in lamb. And if they've haven't got six different tags in them and four different pink tags in them, well, you've got no chance of reselling those sheep at a premium. But if they've got one line of EID tags in them, I think really it's going to help and tidies everything up long term. So I think there's a real positive there for those people that do want to trade livestock, you know, and value add to them. So I think that's great. But also I think, you know, as hard as it is at the moment, probably it's coming whether we like it or not. And it should be, we've got to embrace it and we've got to find our way through and find the positives out of it to add value to make sure we get our money back for what we're spending on tags and gear. So that's how I sort of see it. Yeah.
Does anyone have anything else to add?
I wholeheartedly agree with what Clark said there about that. About those ewes, I think for people buying sheep, it will allow them to pick out their performers and go very quickly and easily and go, I'll keep buying those sheep off that guy over there or wherever it is. And you'll start selecting at the non-performers. And I agree with him that it's happened many times. As years ago, we've taken sheep over the eastern states, put them in sale yards there, they've been sold as West Australian sheep, stood up big and beautiful. And then all the locals said, gee, they were cheap. Well, why didn't you buy them? Oh, well, we weren't sure about them. Well, it's, you know, sheep are sheep. And if they're good quality sheep, it's good quality sheep. So, again, it just opens up opportunities to improve productivity. And I think that's a great move.
Brilliant. Thank you guys so much for your time tonight.
Sounds good.
Oh,
All right.
no worries, Tiffany. Thank you very much.
Thank you again, Emma, Grant and Clark. For more information and resources, please refer to the Sheep Producers website that we have included in the show notes.